Good evening. Good to see you all here tonight. I want to talk about a subject, but I want to ask you a question first. How many here are history buffs? Anybody history buff? Got to raise a hand proud. And so I may need to ask your forgiveness later because I'm about to get some of this wrong. But there is a historical story that I think makes a good analogy with the Bible, and I want to talk about that tonight with you for a few moments. There was a battle cry before the Spanish-American War that was three words: remember the Maine. Remember the Maine. Now, this comes from a long history of what led up to this, but for about three centuries, or maybe four, again, my history is not what it should be, Spain owned Cuba. Spain owned Cuba. Cuba is full of Spanish-speaking people, Spanish people. But Cuba was trying to be independent. And so there had been a few small wars leading up to the Spanish-American War. There were some small conflicts. Now, among that time, America at one point said, hey, we should just annex Cuba because it's so close to us anyway, so we should just take it. That didn't happen, but because of that, at this very critical time of 1898, America had a battleship just off Cuba, really to protect their interests there, because America had a lot of stuff in Cuba already, just to kind of protect their interests. So what happened was, in 1898, with all this friction going on about who's going to own Cuba, and Cuba trying to own itself, and then Spain trying to assert its dominance over Cuba still, there was an explosion on this battleship Maine, and it sank. And they didn't know what happened. So America, of course, wanted to go to war immediately because this was maybe a chance to take Cuba for themselves. And also, it was a chance to go to war, I guess, and some people just wanted to go to war. And so they tried to figure out, though, what happened, because no one really knew. It was assumed that it was a Spanish mine that hit the side of the battleship and blew up, that someone pushed a mine into it, and it caused an explosion, and the battleship sank. That was what was presumed. But they tried to figure it out. And when this just after it happened, of course, the people in Congress were trying to go to war. And so there was a naval expedition from the U.S. that went there, because we were so close anyway, to try and find out what happened. The problem was the water was very, very muddy. And while they were there trying to find out what happened, it was too muddy to see what happened. So they couldn't determine what happened because there was no clarity underwater. And I guess at the time of diving suits and things they had, they couldn't figure it out. So Spain at this point, Spain said, listen, we'll go check because we don't want to go to war. And so they went and investigated. And the water was clearer when they were there, but they didn't know the specs of the ship. They didn't know how it was built, so they could see what was in front of them, but did not know how the ship was constructed, so they really couldn't make head and tails about what would cause it to sink. And so what happened was, in about 6 weeks, it went through Congress, we're at war. Now, actual casualties weren't very many from battle, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Right? There were lots of casualties, but unintended casualties. So there were people that lost their lives, a lot of people lost their lives. Now, what actually happened was, after many people had died, they were able to figure out, because they went in there after the war was either ended or close to an end, America went in and built a big dam around the sink where the main was. Because it wasn't very deep water because it was just off the coast, right? And so they were able to build a big dam around the main. And they were able to determine when they got all the water out of there and looked at the ship and had the plans, so they could compare the plans with what the ship was and what it looked like. They determined then that this happened from an internal explosion. About 22,000 pounds of gunpowder was on that ship at that time. And something happened inside the ship to make an explosion. Now, that could have been sabotage, I guess, but they determined, hey, This wasn't a mine. This happened within the ship itself. So it wasn't sunk, at least conventionally, by an outside foreign force. Now, when they went to check on it the first time, it was too muddy, and then there were no plans. When they finally figured out this was not an act of war, but an accident, there have been 60,000 people die. Now, keep in mind, what's important is that most of those deaths were unintentional. They were from illness. Of the 60,000 people that were dead, only about 1,000 were from actual fighting. A few hundred Americans and nearly 1,000 Spanish. 90+% of those, or more than 90%, were from malaria. The soldiers were brought in, and I don't know why that caused that kind of damage, but of the casualties from war, 1,000. From the casualties overall involved in somehow in the area in the skirmish, 60,000 people. Now, keep in mind that the point I want to make is that those who died mostly were unintentional. The people that died from illness were unintentional casualties. They don't want to try to kill them. And even the ones who did die was from a what? Misunderstanding. And so when you think about how this might be a kind of parable for us to think about and apply to God's word, we're told in 1 Peter that there are many who twist the scriptures to their own destruction. They take a scripture and have it just by itself, and they turn it to make their own thoughts and own desires away from Scripture, away from the rest of Scripture, and cause great harm. That happens quite a bit. In fact, we're told that studies show ourselves approved unto God as a workman that need not be ashamed, doing rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, sometimes when it comes to Bible doctrine, it can seem muddy because you don't know enough. Things are unclear. Sometimes scriptures are taken out of context and just we run with them hoping we're right. Hoping we're right. Now, that's a big deal because when it comes to salvation, right and wrong, well, we hope in God, we shouldn't hope that we're right. We should understand the Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, John 8:32. So when it comes to what is important in my life, my relationship with God, I need to have knowledge of truth. I need to believe what Jesus spoke. I need to understand it, how it works. As Paul told Timothy, rightly divide that word. Be able to look at God's word and see how it's built, right? Like they couldn't do because they didn't have the plans, the Spanish, when it came to the main. You have to know how it's built. Get in there, look at it. Look at it closely and see how it comes together. Because we're told in John chapter 12, verse 48, that one day it will be judged by the words of Christ. Right? So we'll one day be judged by God's word, not our word, not our hopes, not our wishes, but by what God said. So it's not by the glory in that. I think we all can agree with this. The glory in that is it's not, I'm not judged by what you think or you're not judged by what I think. Because man gets things wrong all the time. Just like with this story, Lord, in history, that people get things wrong all the time. Sometimes because they want to, sometimes because they don't have the right information. Right? But we talked about just a moment ago, all those unintentional deaths. They died from disease. They were caught up in this misunderstanding that caused so many lives. Very few lives in the conflict were caused by weapons. Most were caused by mosquitoes, right? And so what happens is also when it comes to our teaching of God's word and our reading of it, that we can cause unintentional harm. Sometimes someone can get a wrong idea or false doctrine, and it can cause a church to split. Sometimes someone gets a wrong idea about doing a certain thing and runs people off. And sometimes lives are lost, or at least souls can be lost because we don't have clear waters where we don't have the right battle plans. We don't know what the word is. Sometimes we get confused and cause trouble for other people because of our own ignorance. This happens all the time. We could talk about, for example, John 3:16. People go there and say, well, see, God so loved the world, he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's my verse right there. That's my verse. So that verse is taken out of the context of everything else in the battleship. It's taken out of the plans. It's, this is my verse. When you might say, well, but what about the rest of Scripture? What about the rest of John 3, let alone the rest of Scripture? Where it talks about the idea of having faith and following God. And that faith is more than just believing, it's actually following, it's actually doing something. We find this all throughout the entire Bible. No, that's my verse, I want that verse. It happens. It causes great harm to that person and all those who listen. How about the idea of premillennialism? We talked this morning about Revelation chapter 20. We talked about verse 6 specifically, but verse 6 has a beatitude from a Revelation, the idea of blessed are those, right? What about that? That chapter talks about a thousand-year reign. There are people who take that one verse and say, listen, I'll take that verse out of that one section apart from the rest of the Bible and say, listen, I think that means that after, at the end of time, Jesus will come again, then there'll be a separate reign, and everyone on earth will have a second chance of salvation, right? And so those who left behind, not taking whatever rapture thing's going on, that's the idea, anyway, it's not what the Bible says. And they say, well, when that happens, we'll have time. So people will see that God actually exists, and we'll have time to change our minds and ask God to forgive us. It's a doctrine of the second chance. But our second chance is in our entire lives. Until we stop breathing, that's our second chance. And so that is taken, and how many people die because we take one verse out of context? Or even when it comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about marriage. Now, it never talks about divorce. But people go to chapter 7, verse 15, and they take that one verse, which talks about not being under bondage to one who leaves, to mean that you can just remarry anybody else whenever you want to if someone leaves you. Not regarding the rest of 1 Corinthians 7, or Matthew, or Mark, or Luke, or John, where Jesus speaks on these things. You just say, well, but I want that to mean I can just leave my spouse and marry somebody else. I wanted to, regardless of what Jesus said, I wanted to mean that. Even though that chapter never talks about divorce. Does not look at it, never talks about divorce. Talks about separation, but never talks about divorce. What do? We're trying to look through muddy water. We're trying to look at things without the whole battle plan. We don't try and really divide God's word. That's tragedy. So we should all want to see God's truth. All of us should care enough to look at the plans, to try and see things through clearer water. That takes time and effort. And God's word tells us, it brings us light. God's word is light. God is light. God is truth. And so God is love. All these things are true. We have to take time to get to know them a bit better. And I think I was thought about this because of Thanksgiving. It's time when families come together. It's a sad thing when families really can't share faith. Sometimes that happens. But if we're talking about things we do with Jesus, what you must do is try to make sure you have it right. Now, the thing is, what the Bible never says is, the Bible never discourages someone from teaching Jesus. You can go from stem to stern and never see anywhere where God says, hey, don't teach Jesus. What it does say is, just get it right. Make sure you preach God's truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. Paul even Paul talks about in Corinthians how, actually Philippians, I'm sorry, I'm getting my books mixed up. Forgive me for that, my fault. I'm preaching against that, right? And I do it. But he talks about the idea of those who preach God's word out of spite, trying to do him more harm. See, because Paul was in prison for preaching Jesus. It was because he was preaching another king, one of his Roman emperor, who was in charge. So they got him thrown in prison. Now, because of that, Paul says, listen, there are other people now preaching Jesus, he says, to hurt me, to harm me. But Paul said, I just give God glory. He said, as long as Jesus is being preached, I don't care. If it brings more weight down on me for preaching Jesus because I did and now others are doing it to try and cause me harm, as long as they're preaching Jesus accurately, I don't care. So preach Jesus. Paul said, even those who are doing it out of spite, which I'd argue is not a good idea at all, because their souls are in jeopardy, of course. He said, even that. He said, I welcome it. Because Jesus is being preached. Isn't that something? So what's the main teaches? What's this idea of the main teaches in this war that lasted a very, very short time? It teaches us that, as we said, I probably said it just three times already, so forgive me for saying it one more time. But it teaches us we have to be patient, not go off half-cocked, not cause trouble because of our misunderstanding of our false doctrines, but to be able to take time and learn God's word and teach it in a way that's responsible. But don't stop teaching it. Take the name of Jesus with you. Everywhere you go, we sing that song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. I'd sing it, but I'm afraid I'd scare you all if I tried. So when it comes to our life, when it comes to being with our families, don't be afraid to teach Jesus to them and teach the church to them and teach truth to them. But just be careful that you're teaching on solid ground the things you know, and on things you don't. And if you don't know something, you can't hide behind ignorance forever. You have time to learn and grow. Have you grown since last year? Have you learned something new from last month? Have you grown in Christ from 2, 3, 4 years ago? Are you now a more strong Christian than you were? We're all at different levels with our faith. I wish mine was way higher than it is right now. I've been doing this a long time. But where are we compared to what God wants to be or God knows we can be? And where are we so we can help our families and our friends and see Jesus in us? That's a very simple moral question, but it's a very powerful one. Don't let the water be too muddy. Don't be caught without the battle plans. Because if you make hasty decision, people can die. Even though there may be unintended consequences. So when it comes to what we do with our faith and we're trying to proclaim Jesus, to preach the word to all the world, to take the gospel to every creature, to teach all nations, as we're concerned, of our own personal responsibility. And I think this also affects those who we support, even missionaries and things. Try to make sure we support good people. Make sure we encourage good people to do right things. Not those who maybe aren't prepared or aren't ready or may be teaching wrong things. That goes for preachers here and abroad. It goes for local preachers like myself. If we need to be teaching right things, if we're not, we need to repent and change so we can do right things. Everybody can make a mistake, but we don't want to be those who are caught in darkness because we just refuse to come to the light. So, remember the main. That helps us remember the idea that I may come where there's cloudy water and don't have the better plans, but I can get them. I cannot make a hasty decision that will cause the death of many other people because I'm just too hasty to figure things out and know what's right. That's a good lesson for everybody. It's a good lesson for raising your kids, raising your grandkids, talking to friends at work, talking to being the strong at church. I can say one thing for sure. I believe this with all my heart. And you can fight with me at the back if you think I'm wrong. some things have happened in HEICO. It's not the size of the church it was 4 years ago. The church, there's some things have happened you all know about. COVID happened. Haven't rebounded from that the way we wish it had. But I'm fully convinced. Well, I want our numbers to grow, and so do you, for obvious reasons. With all my heart, I believe the church in HEICO is stronger today than it was 4 years ago, as a whole. The church here is spiritually stronger than it was. There are fewer in number for people passed away or moved off. That's happened. But the church here is stronger in faith and knowledge than it was a few years ago. I'm not saying it's because of me, but I'm saying whether it be evangelism or other things have taken place, we need to be active with what we've learned and be strong with those things and reach out more, including me. Everybody needs to. But listen, because our numbers aren't what they were 4 years ago, or you could take it back because I just have 4 years. I don't have 15 or 20 like y'all do. You could say, well, there was a time, Jim, when all the building was full. It was great. Fantastic. We want to reach out. We want the church to grow. But don't lose sight, though, that the church here has grown spiritually in the last few years. We just have to put that to work. Not through muddy water, not through not looking at the plans, but through clear, concise facts and teaching and love and compassion. Can we reach out and reach the world and reach those in HEICO that we love and care for? So that's the short lesson tonight, not a very long one. But I want you to know, if you have a question or concern about the lesson, please let me know. If I got things wrong with the Spanish-American War, keep that to yourself. I don't want to know. But these things are important matters that may help us shape our new year as we look forward. So if you need not to respond to the invitation in any way, whether you ask for the prayers of church or you'd like to respond and ask for to be restored or even ask for to be baptized in Christ tonight, if you have a need, please come.